Our reading today can be found in the Church Bibles on page 1061. It is taken from Luke 24, verse 13 to 26, the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?'" Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your testimony, your evidence, your witness accounts in the Bible. And Lord, we do thank you for your word this morning and ask that your word rest upon Sergio's shoulders as he comes up to share some insights and to share his understanding of what you are saying. Amen. Thank you, Sergio.
Good morning, moms. I hope you are okay. Oh, it's always a challenge for me, because as you know, in Mozambique, we don't speak English. We speak Portuguese. So after 2 years, I have to come back here and try to remind all the words that I know and that I don't know in English. But it's great to be here. It's great to be here near Christmas as well. Because I think when it's near Christmas, we are with soft hearts. We think more about us, about spirituality, and about life. And I love this passage. And I think we have some Bibles under the chairs. I would like to encourage you to pick up one of that Bible so that we can look through that passage together. It's Luke 24, 13 to 26. Luke 24. If you don't have the Bible, you can look in your mobile, You can look in your iPad, that's okay. As Liz said before, we did have the cyclone in Mozambique, the Idai cyclone. And I had the opportunity to visit Buzi, that a small city near Beira, where we live, that was nearly covered with water. And I went to the Baptist church there, and I talked with some people who live on that place, and they have a family who stay 5 days above our old truck. So wait for the water go away. And when you hear that stories, and they said to me, they have people who stay above the, like sit in a tree for 4 or 5 days, just waiting for their water to go. And when we see so much suffering, and we think, where is hope here? And people almost lose their hopes. And that's it's one of the narratives found in the Gospel of Luke. And that talk about two disciples who was going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Emmaus, yeah, that's correct. In the context that we know, Jesus was crucified, and for that disciples, all the hope that they have was gone. Because they have some expectations that Jesus will come and they're not going to be more slaves, but they're going to rule Jerusalem again. But hope was gone. We live in a world without hope. It's sad to say, but people have a different expectation of hope, because they think hope it's like a way of think. If I think positive, that's gonna happen. That's hope. Oh, I hope tomorrow. I think here always hope that we're gonna be better tomorrow, but that never come. So we almost lost our hope. And that's the world today. So we meet people, they have a good job, they have a good house, but deep inside, when you start talk to them, they are hopeless. It's difficult to know, sometimes it's difficult to see, but we live in a world that is hopeless. And most of the people understand hope with a wishful thing. And I hope something will happen. But that's not what the Bible say about hope. The biblical definition of hope, it's a confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. I'm going to try to explain here a little bit better for you. Hope, it's belief that God is there for me. Doesn't matter what is there. I know God is there. I'm not scared about the future because I know God is there with me. And God will be there for me. Doesn't matter what I can see, but I know God have a better way for me. And that's amazing to see in Mozambique, because we live in one of the poor countries in the world where people, they just maybe have like one food a day, and they have to choose between breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But when you talk to them, you see they don't have lack of hope, because they understand it's not about what we see, but it's about what we don't see. And I think that is Christian hope. That's not what I see here and what it's my circumstances, but it's understand that God have a better way for me. and that God have a better path for me. Maybe I don't see. Maybe no one can see, but here, deep in my heart, I know what God has for me. And I love this passage because when you start to read about this passage, let's look in verse 16. On the verse 16 say, Jesus walked along with them. When we live in this world, we meet people without hope. And sometimes we don't have hope as well for us. And this passage showed that these people, they didn't have hope. And Jesus went and met with them and walked alongside them. So Jesus took the initiative to be with them. Jesus approached them, and Jesus took the first step. When we meet people, because sometimes you are so busy, when you go to supermarket or when you go to do something, we meet people. But we not think about that people or that person. We think about a task, what I have to do. Liz, when we was living in Brazil, Liz asked me to go to like to a shopping to buy something. And that was like a 2 minutes walk from our house in Brazil for where we used to live. Normally, I took 2 hours to go there and come back. Because I stopped to talk with people. I ask people how they are. They start talking to me and we just talk. Because in the end, I just come back and I didn't buy what I went for. At least, did you buy what I asked for? What did you ask? So I asked to buy sugar. Okay, sorry, I have to go and buy sugar now. I hope I'm going to come back in 3 minutes. I'm not going to stop. Because in my mind, it was not about the sugar, it's about the people. But sometimes we are so busy, we are focused on us. And I have to, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying sometimes we have to have like a space to approach people, to walk alongside people, to be with people, to smile to people, to say, hi, how are you? Sometimes you say, hi, how are you? And you just turn the back because you don't want the person to answer. Because if they say, I'm not very well, we don't know what to do. But sometimes it's easy. It's just give a hug. You just say, I'm here for you. That was Jesus did. He walked alongside them. He approached them. He took the first step. And God is calling a church today to take the first step. It's near Christmas. Don't be ashamed to take the first step. I know sometimes it's difficult here. The things I find most funny here when I went from here to Bishop Stortford, it's like people go inside of the train. They look for a chair that it's empty because they don't want to sit near anyone. When you go, sometimes they walk all the train to find a chair just for themselves. And for me, no. I want to sit near someone because I want to have a conversation. Because I want to know. In Brazil, it's so fun in Brazil, they have a barbecue for the people who use the same bus every day. Because lots of people in Brazil, they don't have a car, so they catch the same bus every day and the same time. So they know everyone in the bus or in the train. So when that person, it's not on that train, they say, do you know where is John? He's not here today. Do you know what's happened? In the end of the year, they have like a secret Santa, you call here. They have a secret Santa for everyone who took the same bus every day. Because they start to know everyone. Because they talk. They create relationship. They approach one of another. I think that's that bus, each church. And sometimes the church, it's not the church. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. But church, it's about to approach people, to take the first step, to care about one another. That's church. On the verse 17, let's go to the verse 17. He asked them. I don't know if you have a different version, but they say, he asked them, what are you discussing together? He asked. He showed interest. He showed that he cared. No one starts saying to Jesus, oh, that's what is happening. He asked them. He took the initiative. He cared about people. Sometimes we are so busy when you go to some place because we think about us. We think about what you have to do, about our time. Time in Mozambique, it's not a problem. You know that. I went to the church, I think 2 weeks ago, we have a big wedding at church. And wedding, it's amazing in Mozambique. They start Saturday in the morning, going to the evening on the Saturday. On the Sunday, they come to the church. After the church service, they have a lunch as well. But it's not like here, or it's like in Brazil. Because like here, if you invite me to go to have lunch in your house, if you say 12 o'clock, when I arrive there, 12 o'clock, the food is ready. Yes or no? That's never happened in Mozambique. So the service finished. We went to the family to eat. That was like 12:30. The food was ready. Nope. So, we have to go to another house to pick up more food. I said, okay. Let's go. So I went with my car to pick up and to bring the food. So they start to cook on that time after the service. So the children was so tired, I said to Liz, you can go again and stay here. So when it was 4:30 in the afternoon, I went home. And we have dinner, I think, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because dinner was not the important thing. Relationship was the most important thing. When you look to this passage, if you look in the end of this passage, when they recognize Jesus, Jesus break the bed, and they say, whoa, it's you. And Jesus disappeared. And Jesus didn't have food with them. Because food was not the most important thing. Relationship was the important thing. It's spend time with other. That's what the church should be doing. Spend time with one another. Know one another. Know your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Know what they need. I'm not here to put shame on you or to put shame on us as a church. But I'm here because God is calling us as a church to be light of this world, to be like a sign of hope to people. When people look to us, they see something different. That's what I'm here because I think God is calling us. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me as well. Because before I say that to you, God said that to me. Before you change, I have to change. That's the word of God. And God is calling me to spend time with people, to care about people. And do you know what? Let's just come back on the verse 13 that I love more. And on the verse 30, said that Jesus walked 7 miles with that 2 disciples. Liz is very good to do exercise. She went to run this morning. I think she's crazy. I think walk and running, it's not my thing. I don't like to run. I don't like to walk. And he as well is the worst. Come on, guys. It's 5 degrees. Two. Worst. Oh, my word. But that passage said just Jesus walked with these 2 disciples 7 miles. If I was Jesus, in the 500 meters, I have done everything. I'm not going to walk 7 miles. I think maybe in the first 10 meters, I'm going to say, oh, by the way, I'm Jesus. And look here in my hand. No, don't lose your hope. Bye-bye, gone. But Jesus walked with them 7 miles. Explain to them. Spend time with them. Have a relationship with them. But sometimes we are so busy that no one we're gonna walk 7 miles with other people. But Jesus walked 7 miles. Because it was not about Jesus, it was about them. They was hopeless. Jesus had to spend time with them, to teach them, to explain to them. And also to restore the faith and the hope that they need. I think we should start walk with people, walk with one another. And not just think about myself, but think about the other person. I think I should start walk with people. And do you know, it's very hard to be in Mozambique. And do, like I was explaining to Jed, and building Mozambique is not easy. The other day, I was calling my builder, and he was not answer. I said, oh my word, where is this guy? So I called the pastor from our church. And I said, where is Zito, who is the builder? I said, oh, Pastor Zito, it's in the prison. I say, Pastor, he's in prison? Yes, he hit his wife. I said, serious, but he's a Christian, no? Yeah, he's a Christian. I should just, if it was just my sense of like justice, I said, do you know, Zito, you don't work more for me. Come on, guy, you're a Christian, you hit your wife. You can't do that. You don't work more for me. But that's not the way we do stuff in Mozambique. That's not the way we should do stuff. Because, yes, I have to teach them, but I have to give him another opportunity. Because he hit his wife, and it's not because he went, but because he learned that. That's what he see. That's what his culture showed to people. And I have to come to him and say, what he's doing is, it's not right, Zito. But come here, I'm going to teach you a better way. And that's what we as a church should be doing. It's not because we know everything or because we are better than the other people, But we know who Christ is. And we know what he has done for us. And you know that he brings hope to the hopeless. And we know that doesn't matter what people go through. One day, we go to a better place. And we start show this to people that will be a better place. That is called heaven. And I have to say to the church, because I think some churches and some Christians, they forget that heaven is real. And I have to say to you, my brothers and sisters, heaven, it's real. It's not like a children's history. That's what God promised to me and to you, and to you who believe on him, that he went to prepare a place for us, and that is hope. And that should be what we teach and what we show to people. I don't know about you, but I start to think about heaven every day. And we have to start show that to people. We have to start look to people and try to teach them they have a better way to live. And we have to be, like the Bible say, a light. Not a light for us, but a light for other people. A light is not a light near other light. A light, it's a light where have no light. It's a light on the darkness. As a Christian, we have to start be a light on the darkness. Show to other people everything is gonna be okay. I would like to finish with you with 1 Peter. Let's open our Bible in 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:13. First Peter 1:13. If you open, I would like you to read that for yourself. But also, I would like to ask if someone, like we do in Mozambique, we always in Mozambique, it's amazing because you just say the name of someone, say, can you pray for us? Just in the spot like that. But I'm not gonna do that, don't worry. But I would like to ask if you feel that you can read that for us, can you someone just stand up and read for us, 1 Peter 1:13.
Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy.
Thank you. The real rope is going to be revealed in Christ. Just in Jesus Christ. The real rope is revealed. We can have rope, hope, and everything, and everywhere. But real hope is we can just have in Christ. Let's close our eyes. Let's just think, how can we show hope to people? Maybe we think we live in a place that we don't need to do anything because people have everything here. But sometimes that's the people who need hope. Sometimes that's the people who need a hug or a word of encouragement. Just to hear, everything is going to be okay. Or just hear, I'm here for you. I just pray that God is going to bring something for you this week that you can show to these people the truly love of God who is in you and through you. You're going to be shared that with your neighbor in the supermarket, where you work, where you live. Let's pray. God of hope, God of mercy, and God of grace, I pray that you can teach us how to look after one another, Lord Jesus. Not just one another in the church, but one another outside of the church. I just pray that we can, when you go in a business of our day, you can reveal some people that they need a word of encouragement, or I just, good morning, I just, how are you? I just like, I hope you have a good day. Dear Lord, I just pray that you can teach us how to be like you, Jesus. How to do the first step, how to take initiative, how to approach people, or how to give love to people. And I'm also pray, God, sometimes we come to the church and our heart and our mind, we don't know what to do. We are hopeless. We lost our hope. I just pray that you can teach us, you can show us. Doesn't matter our circumstances, doesn't matter what we go through, you are with us. I just pray that you can teach us and we can live that every day, Lord Jesus. And I'm also praying for my brothers and sisters who is here. I pray for myself as well, Lord, that I'm not going to think about myself all the time, but I can think about the cashier in the supermarket, the people who walk in the street. I can think about my neighbor. I can think about my friend or my job. I can think about sometimes that person that I don't like, but I know that you care about them, Lord Jesus, as you care about me. I pray that you can teach us do that, Lord Jesus. That we don't live for ourselves, but we live for you. It's not about me, Lord, but it's about you and about my neighbor and about the other, Lord Jesus. I just pray that you can teach us this, Lord, that we can be like you on the road with these two disciples, and we can look to other people and think about them, spend time with them, and be approachable. I just pray that in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Would you offer the blessing at the end of the